I would ask you to please turn with me this evening to the Gospel of John and chapter 10 and verse 27. The Gospel of John and chapter 10 and verse 27. That is page 1236. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. And the subject before us this evening is quite simply, follow me, following Jesus. We are privileged this evening to witness the testimony of another young believer following Jesus. But when making such a step, it is vital that we understand what following Jesus really means for us. I've spent a number of sessions with John Luke in going through the foundations of the Christian faith and some of the aspects of the Christian life. And I want to come again to this subject this evening. What does it really mean to follow Jesus? And here we are given by the Lord and Master himself some very precious truths about following him. These are truths we need to keep in mind as we follow him along the narrow way that ultimately leads us to glory, to be with Jesus and see him as he is. And so the objective this evening is quite simply to identify some of the essential truths about following Jesus. First of all, we read here in verse 27, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice." Christ owns each one of his sheep. They have been purchased by his precious blood on Calvary's cross. They have been purchased at a great cost. The sheep were given to the Lord Jesus by God the Father to save, to redeem, to lead, and to finally receive them into heaven. And the Lord Jesus holds them with an eternal security. And this is confirmed also by that of God the Father. We see here, Jesus says not only at the end of verse 28, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. And so the sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ, those who are truly converted, those who have repented of their sin and turned to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, looking unto Jesus, trusting him, following him, are eternally secure in his precious love and in his secure power. And Jesus not only confirms that's within his own power, but he assures us that it is also in the Father's power. There is this eternal security of the sheep following Jesus. Now, following Jesus means we live dependently upon God. When John Luke has to make fundamental decisions in his life, he doesn't make them. He will not make them, we trust, as like an independent being who has no concern about God's will in his life, but he will seek the Lord's will. He will understand that he is living as unto the Lord, that we don't just do our own thing regardless. We are not our own. We are bought with a price. We are the sheep of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "My sheep." We are owned in a very loving and precious eternal way by the Lord Jesus. And so the first principle I would bring to your attention this evening, as in following Jesus, it is to remind ourselves that we are his by choice and by purchase. The Apostle Paul, teaching the church at Corinth, said, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? You are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." That's what it really means to be a Christian. We lovingly submit our whole being in following Jesus, and we become the servant of Jesus, not in a servile way, not in a legalistic way, but in a loving way. It's our joy to follow Jesus. He is our Lord and Master. So the Apostle Paul, who wrote this particular text to the church at Corinth, shows to us how important it is that by faith we see this truth for ourselves, that we are not our own. We have been purchased at a great price. And so Christians should not live independently from God. Rather, they are called to be followers of Jesus as their Lord. We are his sheep, owned by the Good Shepherd. We are stamped with God's eternal covenant of grace. But then Jesus goes on to say something very beautiful. He says, "My sheep hear my voice." I don't know whether you noticed, but when we were reading about Mary in the Gospel of John, it struck me as we was reading that when Jesus spoke to Mary, it's very interesting. She thought he was the gardener. His physical appearance was not all shining in glory. He looked just like another man. And at first, her eyes were cold, and she didn't recognize it was Jesus in her state of mind. But the interesting thing is, directly Jesus said to her, "Mary," directly she heard her voice. Directly he said to her, "Mary." Directly he spoke to her personally, "Mary." She said, "Rabboni." You see, friends, this is what it means to hear his voice. We know Jesus personally. You know, you can hear hundreds of sermons, thousands of sermons perhaps, and that's why they go over your head. But there comes a time when God speaks to you personally. And it's like Jesus, it's only time for you. And he's speaking to you personally through his word. And it's the voice of the shepherd. And we know this is a different voice. This is God speaking to us through his word, the Bible. It is not a separate voice independent from what God has spoken to us through his word. It is the word of God spoken to us by the power of the Holy Spirit, wherein we see Jesus. We experience Jesus himself speaking to us personally. And as followers of Jesus, we respond and know the voice of Jesus. Jesus said, and when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them. That's the shepherd leading his sheep. And the sheep follow him. Why do they follow this shepherd? Not only because he's died for them, not only because he's his Lord, their Lord, but because they know his voice, Jesus said. For they know his voice. There's nothing like the voice of Jesus. You see, the voice of Jesus is tender. The voice of Jesus speaking to us is understanding. The voice of Jesus speaking to us is truth. The voice of Jesus speaking to us is wisdom. The voice of Jesus speaking to us is saving. The voice of Jesus speaking to us is cleansing. And we know his voice. And as we grow in the Christian life, there is this precious voice we want to hear more and more and more. And I just want to share with you this evening, just at this point, some of the words of Jesus that are so often recognized by the Lord's people, by those who follow him. And one of the most wonderful words that Jesus ever said was, "I have come to seek and to save that which was lost." And when Jesus speaks here of being lost, he's referring to a person outside of Christ. They're in their unsaved condition. They're wandering around in the wilderness of worldliness. And they're without direction. They're looking at this and looking at that. They're seeking after this and seeking after that. Then they get tired of this and tired of that. And they look back over their life and they say, "Well, actually, I've been seeking after this for meaning, seeking after this for meaning, and realizing that actually I've still got an empty void." And Jesus describes that as being lost. not only lost, but unable in and of themselves to get themselves out of the wilderness of sin and guilt. They've lost this right relationship with God, and our brother Timothy spoke so meaningfully in prayer of knowing God, knowing a right relationship with God. We've lost peace with God by nature. We're lost eternally without salvation. Out of Christ's almighty power can do nothing but devour. It means not only that you're lost for time, but for eternity. You have no hope and you're without God in this world. To be lost is something awful. It's terrible. It has eternal consequences. And under this conviction of sin and this awareness of our lost condition, the words of Jesus are so wonderful to us, friends. He comes and he says to us personally, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. And our heart responds and we think, I'm lost. So I'm one of the very people Jesus has come to save. Jesus said, I've not come to save the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And I look at myself and I feel, I know I'm lost. I know I've not got peace with God. I know that I'm a sinner. And yet my Jesus, the one I'm looking to now, he says, I've come to save just a person like me. And Jesus says, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And there's a holy reasoning here, friends, a biblical reasoning. If Jesus has come to save that which was lost, and I know I'm lost, then he must surely have come to save me. But then, as we think about these words of Jesus, Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. And we thirst after forgiveness, the cleansing, a right relationship with God, to have peace in our hearts. And Jesus says, come to me and you will find it. And we find the Lord Jesus so suitable to our needs. Jesus says, if any man, not if you've done this or that, not if you've done this particular work and that particular work, and you've made yourself presentable to God by your own works and righteousness. No, Jesus simply says, if any man thirsts, if you have that God-given thirst in your life and you are discontented with the world and you find you cannot find peace and happiness in the world in and of itself, and there's this empty void. Happiness, thou lovely name, where's thy seat? Oh, tell me where. Learning, pleasure, wealth and flame, all cry out, it is not here. There is a void which the world cannot fill. So what am I to do? Who can I go to? We can go to this good shepherd. And the words that Jesus said is, if any man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. Then Jesus also said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. You see, when Jesus speaks to his sheep, they are always words that have a purpose. They have a meaning. Jesus never speaks meaningless words to you. They have life. They have eternal life within their content. Sometimes when a person speaks to us, we're not sure of a motive. Is it positive or negative? Is it meaningful or is it meaningless? But whenever Jesus speaks to us through his word, friends, we can be sure his words are pure and purposeful and meaningful and life-giving. Jesus said also, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And so we have these wonderful words of encouragement this evening. And we hear Jesus saying to us, look, if you follow me, I'm the light of the world. Yes, you have been walking in the darkness, in the wilderness of sin. But as you follow Jesus, you will no longer walk in the darkness, but you will have the light. But not just light, the light of truth and understanding through his word, but you will have the light of life. There's life attending God's word. That is why the Bible is so unique. It's not like any other book. The Word of God, the Bible, is inspired by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is pleased to attend God's work with power in such a way that it brings within us a blessed spiritual life. It's a living Word. Jesus gives us living waters. He gives us life. Everything about Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life, is living. It's life. We worship a living Savior. He shall have the light of life. Jesus said, everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. This is a challenge to us this evening. Have we heard the voice of Jesus speaking to us from his word? Do the invitations or the warnings of Jesus, have they meant something to us? When Jesus warns about hell, has it made us sit up and think, this Jesus is speaking to us about a terrible eternal future without God. And he's warning us. Have we heard the voice of Jesus warning us, the voice of truth warning us about a lost eternity? And have we heard the voice of Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, saying that he is the way to the Father? The positive aspect of the message of Jesus. Everyone who is of the truth, who by faith submits to the truth of the word of Jesus, hears my voice. Hearing the voice of Jesus is one of the evidences of salvation. Those who hear his voice respond to his voice, and they testify that they are those who are believers. They respond to truth. Some of the things that Jesus said were very tough. Very hard. They were very difficult to accept by nature. We cannot accept them by nature. But when we come to Jesus by faith, we love him for being truthful with us, for being honest. There's no cover-up with Jesus. We understand when we hear the voice of Jesus that what he says to us, we need to hear. It's for our good. It's for our eternal good. It's for our soul's good. But then Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. As we consider just some of the words that Jesus said this evening, do you not see that Jesus is suitable to so many situations and conditions of life? And Jesus says, if anyone hears my voice, from whatever situation you're coming from, whatever nation, whatever walk of life, but you are in this situation and you hear Jesus speaking to you. This is Jesus who's speaking to me. And by faith you open the door of your heart. Jesus said, I'll come in. I'm knocking at the door of your heart. I'm speaking to you. And I'll come in. And I'll fellowship with you. I'll abide with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. I'll identify with you. And I will save you and speak for you on your behalf in heaven's throne above. I have the ear of the Father, and I will speak to you, speak for you personally as your advocate in heaven on high. And notice here again, as we have heard of any man, here Jesus says, if anyone hears my voice, I will come and fellowship with that person. But hearing the voice of Jesus through the word of God is not just about understanding and receiving its truth by faith. It's about recognizing the tone of the words of Jesus. It's about recognizing the tone. The tone of his voice is revealed in the manner of his words, because they speak of genuine concern for your soul. There was a time when the religious leaders sent some officers of theirs to capture Jesus. They were strong men. They would have no problem with one man. But all Jesus had to do was speak to them. He didn't have a sword to defend himself. He just spoke to them. And they came back to these high priests and these religious leaders, and they said to these soldiers, well, why haven't you got him? And they simply said, never man spake like this man. We've never heard anyone speak like this man. The words of Jesus are genuine. They're truthful, they're pure, they're loving, they're faithful, they are saving. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I know them. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ saves freely and willingly all those who truly trust in him. And he does so knowing all about your past and all about your present and all about your future. This is the wonderful thing about Jesus, the Savior, the Great Shepherd. There is no need to hide from Jesus. There's no need to think, well, I can't come to Jesus. And if I come to Jesus and confess my sins and acknowledge I'm a sinner before God, that I won't really remember that difficult area in my life that I'm so embarrassed about. Well, let me tell you something. God already knows. And Jesus for sure already knows. So when you come to him, you come as you are. That's the only way to come to Jesus, is to come just as you are. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, the first thing they did was hide from God, tried to hide from God. That's what sin does. Sin separates us from God, and we want to hide from God. But when Jesus came to this world to live a perfect life and to die upon Calvary's cross, Jesus says to sinners not to hide from him because of the shame of their sin. Jesus says you've got no reason to hide, but actually you've got every reason to come. The very fact that you're a sinner is the reason you need to come. Not the reason you need to hide. Not the reason you need to pretend that God doesn't know. Not the reason you need to try and make up your own righteousness and your own goodness and try and make yourself right with God through your good works. Jesus simply says to you, I know you. I know everything about you. And even though I know everything about you, not only the past, the present and the future, and if you follow me, you may well slip up at times and fail him. Jesus simply says, come. I know you. I know you, he says. I know your characteristics and failures and strengths and weaknesses and gifts and condition. But I am the God of all grace. I am the one who can give you grace to help in time of need. Jesus knows the way his sheep are taken. In fact, he actually goes before his sheep. He knows your spiritual and providential needs. He knows the times of temptation and trial and adversity and prosperity and sickness and health and sadness and happiness. And he's a high priest who empathizes, who understands, who's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. The hymn writer John Berridge said once, and he wrote in his hymn, he said, there is a friend who sticketh fast and keeps his love from first to last, and Jesus is his name. An earthly brother drops his hold, is sometimes hot, is sometimes cold, but Jesus is the same. And that's so wonderful. Jesus knows you, but he's the same. This was Job's comfort in the Old Testament when he was going through such a terrible pathway of attack from Satan. He said, he knows the way that I take. When he has tried me, when God has in his permissive will tested me through this attack of Satan and allowed this attack to come into my life, actually for my spiritual good in the end, I shall come forth as gold. And this is faith. He says, he knows the way that I take. He sees me in my condition. He sees me rejected of men. He sees me with a body covered in sores. He sees me at the city refuse tip. despised even by the children. He sees everything about me. He knows the way that I'm taking. And when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. The comfort was the fact that God knew. And that was David's comfort. He said, he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. He knows that we're weak creatures. This was Nahum's comfort. He said, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows them that trust in him. Oh, we have Jesus. He's such an understanding high priest who's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And he has an understanding, an intimate knowledge of your needs for time and eternity. And it says in scripture that he has graven you on the palms of his hands. When he went to Calvary's cross and he was nailed upon that cross, he had every one of his sheep on his mind as the Son of God, graven upon the palms of his hands. No one can be snatched out of the Father's hand, and no one can snatch them out of my hand, because his sheep are graven on the palms of his hands. They follow me. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. To be following somebody must mean that they are in the front. It must mean they are leading the way. And it must mean that Jesus is leading, not driving. Satan drives us as with a big stick. But Jesus leads us. He goes to the front. And there's nothing that we're experiencing in life that Jesus doesn't know about. In all our affliction, he was afflicted. He understands the pain, the tears, and the sorrows and the times of joy and the times of tears. Jesus understands and knows. And he's going before us as the understanding shepherd. And they follow me. And we are called to follow his example like this evening. Follow his commands like this evening. Follow his teaching and his way. We are called to follow him as the Lord of our life, in submission to his lordship over our life. We are called to follow him in times of strength and times of weakness, prosperity and adversity, peace and persecution. For this you are called, Jesus, Paul Peter tells us, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. I give unto them eternal life. Now there is no greater gift for us than eternal life. To have our future secure in this world of insecurity, when even nuclear war is threatened between North Korea and USA. When we recognize that but with the stay in hand of God, these things could happen in a moment. Nothing will happen beyond the permissive will of God. But we need to know our eternal security, friends. We need to know where we're heading. Eternal life means having a secure, permanent condition wherein we are most assuredly favored of God. We're blessed by God for time and eternity. This is a priceless gift. It's an enduring, everlasting, pure, fulfilling gift, eternal life and eternal security. They shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. It speaks to us then of eternal security. It speaks to us of knowing that however hard Satan might attempt, however hard temptations might attempt to separate us, to snatch us out of the Father's hand, and to snatch us out of our Savior's hand, no one can snatch us out of the Father's hand. That's what it means when we follow Jesus. They shall never perish. These are the words of Jesus. Everything then about following the Lord Jesus is right. There cannot be any better desire in your life this evening than to follow Jesus. And there can be no better man, no better person to follow than the Lord Jesus. Because his word is faithful to all his followers. His conduct is faithful to all his followers. His salvation work is faithful and true and sure to all his followers. His purpose is faithful and pure to all his followers. His promises are faithful to all his followers. The word of God says, "For I, the Lord God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. I will hold your right hand. I will hold you with eternal security. Fear not, for God is faithful." And Jesus said when he instituted at the Passover feast and knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, we read, "Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." And that's an amazing statement. This is the eternal love of Jesus, the faithful love of Jesus, loving us to the end, loving us to glory. This is our hope. This is the privilege, the blessedness of following Jesus. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." So in conclusion this evening, everything about these words of Jesus are meant to encourage us to follow him by faith as our Savior and Lord. There is no better person that you can follow. There's no better example that you can follow. There's no better friend than our Savior Jesus. And as we witness a young person going through the waters of baptism, following his master Jesus, this is simply the beginning. In a biblical principle, we repent and believe and are baptized. It's a beginning part of the Christian life according to the biblical principle. And he's making this open profession of faith before this congregation. And by God's grace, may the remainder of his life here upon earth, the life of John Luke, his testimony, may it be his holy ambition. May his direction be centered in Jesus only and following Jesus. This is our prayer for John Luke. This is our desire for John Luke. And I ask you as a church, I plead with you as a church to remember that John Luke, like Luke, who was baptized recently, they're teenagers growing up into life. They face many temptations. They face far, far greater distractions in the world than we ever knew ourselves when we were their age. We didn't have computers and internet and Facebook and all this sort of thing and games to play on the computer and all sorts of distractions that Satan can put in our way. We didn't have all this sort of thing. We understood what temptation was and we rebelled sadly against our God. What I ask you and plead with you as members of this church, and I believe you will do so, have an understanding love. Have an understanding love for our young converts, for our young believers. They sometimes surprise you and do things which are foolish because they're growing up. But pray for grace for them. Pray that they will grow in grace and mature, that God will mature them speedily in their Christian life, and so that as they grow up into manhood and womanhood, we will see the evidences that God is working in their life. These potentially, friends, are the future leaders of the church. Of a church. And we need to love them with an understanding love. Not compromising love, understanding love. Help them, come alongside them, and support them. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." Amen.